A recent discovery by scientists at the University of Arizona seems to show the HIV virus has been active for over a century. According to our partners at STAT, the Health and Medicine publication, the genetic code for the virus was found in tissue from a 38-year-old, which was preserved when he died in the 1960s, and it's a genetic sequence a decade older than the previous oldest one. Michael Warby heads the team that carried out the work. Dr. Warby, welcome. Congratulations.
Thanks. Hi, Robin.
Because this feels like it hasn't been peer-reviewed yet, we should say, your reporting, but it feels like very important work. And when I say that this was a virus from a 38-year-old male from the 60s, it was snipped from a lymph node and sealed in a protective block of paraffin. First of all, why does this even exist?
Its existence has nothing to do with HIV because it was preserved long before anyone knew about the virus. This is actually a routine thing that happens when people go in for a biopsy. A little bit of that tissue is typically fixed in preservatives and then encased in wax and then just stored in the basement of the hospital and allow us, in this case, to travel back in time and actually see what HIV looked like in the 1960s.
And so did you have any clue that this paraffin, when opened up, might have this inside it, this little, I understand, like a less than a thumbnail of genetic information? Could you guess what might be there?
We hoped. We actually screened more than 1,000 samples in the capital, Kinshasa, Democratic Republic of the Congo, where we think the virus was diversifying at a very, very early point. Further back in time you go, the less likely it is that anyone sampled will have the virus. But we got this one sample that was of high quality that we could stitch together the genome of the virus from it.
So, yeah, you tease out of this tissue a nearly complete genetic sequence of an HIV virus, HIV-1. First of all, we understand you've been working on this for 5 years. What were you doing for 5 years? I mean, what did this entail?
It's sort of two things. It's improving the methods so that you actually don't miss the virus when you screen for it. So the good thing about these preservatives is that they preserve material well enough that there is some genetic material left from the virus. The bad thing is that they do horrible things to the RNA of the virus. They mince it up into small pieces and make it very hard to recover using molecular biology. Once we had knowledge that this sample was positive, then it was many years of just slowly, piece by piece, the whole genome's about 10,000 nucleotides, and some of the pieces that we, individual pieces that we amplified were less than 100 nucleotides, and it just takes a lot of toil to do it this way.
Well, explain this, because this man, who obviously died in the 60s, it's his tissue, was in his 30s. But the conclusion is that the HIV virus that you found in his tissue showed that the virus emerged over a century ago. How is that if he was only in his 30s in the 60s?
The nice thing about having a complete genome from that era is you can then plug it in with other genome sampled later of the virus. And the place where this virus from the 1960s fits in is not the root of the tree. It shows that already by the 1960s, there was a wide diversity of HIV, and it would have taken several decades before this person was infected to generate that diversity. And so we think that the virus probably emerged sometime maybe around 1910. And we had indications from modern sequences that that might be the case. But now we can step back and see, yep, it clearly was evolving for decades before the 1960s.
Which is so fascinating. First of all, there have been documentaries about the person who was said to be ground zero, the first person to transmit the HIV virus. That is automatically not true. Now, if this, you know, proves out that the virus was around for decades before. But also, you have other questions, like maybe HIV was actually behind some other pandemics in history.
You're exactly right. The genetic picture shows very clearly that he was just one of many people who was infected. And I wouldn't say so much that it caused other pandemics, but that it was causing deaths throughout virtually the whole 20th century without anyone noticing, and that's because it destroys your immune system and you die from other known diseases in Africa, primarily tuberculosis. It took a giant number of people dying before anyone clued in that this was going on.
Boy, again, this hasn't been peer-reviewed, but it's being praised by the top people in the field of HIV research. What does it mean to you, Dr. Warabi, that I think you said this was just in a box, a cardboard box in a big heap. This could have been thrown out.
Yeah, absolutely. So a good chunk of my time over the last 15, 20 years has been just connecting with people and institutions that might have old samples like this. They're important for HIV. They've been super important for influenza. And there are lessons to be learned from these things. So they're important.
Dr. Michael Warabi of the University of Arizona, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Robin.